Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way. Poetic Energy Network. Station.
Shalom. What's going on, man? We back. Oh, you already know. It's another Sabbath. Yahuwah bless us for another one. We're back again to try to lay it down and see what's going on in the world. Man, we got a lineup for you today. I'm talking about, we got like the lineup. So let's get ready. Let's go to the throne, man, because it's going to be very exciting. We got a lot of things going down in the news, a lot of things that we have to cover. So let's go to the throne. Father Yahuwah, Yahusha, the Messiah's name, Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for just making it to another Sabbath, another day of rest. Father, we pray in the name of Yahusha, Father, that we would decrease, that you would increase, that the Ruach, the set-apart spirit, would speak through us, to us, and let us know what the spiritual atmosphere is, Father, that we may prepare our houses, tell people about the Besorah and Yahusha, and that we may continue to walk down the path that you have us to walk. And, Father, prepare our houses, and that we may be strong in the trials and everything that's coming upon the world, Father, but we may be able to escape those things also. In the name of Yahusha, we pray. So be it. Amen. So, man, it's going down, man. You know, last week we were talking about the rise of the mark of the beast. So I want to do something. Every week we're going to try to keep you up to date about how this is coming, because there's going to be a day when, you know, Hanak and Eliyahu or Elijah and Enoch is here and they're proclaiming, you know, the message, hey, take not the mark of the beast, but receive Yahusha. And so this thing is real. This is not imaginary. We got a guest coming on in just a little bit and going to show you how real this is. And so we want to just warm it up to you and show you how actually real this is, because we talked about it last week. And, you know, a lot of people allude to the fact, and a lot of people, this is going to catch them unaware because they have no idea what's coming. But we want to dive right into it. Okay. In the Greek, it is a word called shamagma. It is an engraved, etched, brand, inscribed mark or sign. Closest to the sense, in the earliest example, it says where it denotes a bite of a snake. Okay, this is from Theology Dictionary of the New Testament. Any mark or engraved imprint or brand or essence, a serpent's mark or a bite or a sting. That was from another dictionary. So what the quick thing we're going to talk about real quick is about Revelation 13:18. That's what we've been talking about for a while, because it's coming ever since Teruah, ever since the signs in the Shemayim has been blown. We've been talking about how close it's coming. A while back we know about the name JC, erroneously who they called the Messiah. We know his real true name is Yahusha. But Chi Psi Sigma, when you pronounce that out in your ancient Greek, it comes up to Jesus. 666. We talked about Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him who will not understand and count the number of a beast, for as the number of a man. And his number is 666. Okay. You know, so that's the mark of the beast. Chi, Psi, Sigma, which is in the Greek. This is going to be real interesting. You really got to put your thinking caps on, because it's going to be real interesting. And this is going to tie into, you know, our guest is going to be on in just a little bit. But check this out. This is how real this is. I'm reading an article right now from one of the websites. I believe it's called Riding the Beast or something like that, .com. But I want to show you how real this is. there is a company called ViroChip. We talked about ViroChip. We talked about IBM. Applied Digital Solutions, Digital Angel, has tried to hide their true intentions of their logo. Now, I want to show you. Digital Angel isn't the only product with the name or logo that links to 666. The connections between 666 acquired products seems to have become a trend of Applied Digital Solutions ViroChip Corporation. And we know ViroChip Corporation is actually owned by IBM. So it says, if nothing else, they added a mount evidence to nature of the mark of the beast 666. Okay, now I'm going to tell you, this is not coincidence. Guess what the companies, okay, you know you have in branches, you have IBM and then you have ViroChip. ViroChip acquires companies, that means they basically bought these companies out and they basically combine together. One of the companies is called Soulmark, S-O-M-A-R-K, Soulmark, yes, Mark. Another one is called XR Wireless, another one is called XMark. Okay, a recent acquisition by Applied Digital Solutions, XL Wireless. Remember that XI, Psi, is 60 in the 666. Another purchase is XMark. Yes, the X and the Mark, whose products made match Watchmate and Hugs. Similarities are obvious. Also worth mentioning is Soulmark Inventions, a company that manufactures invisible RFID ink used to tattoo cattle and tracking. Okay, so check this. Check this. When you look at these companies, you look at the symbolic of their languages in their logos, it gives you the impression of the 666. Even though Chi Psi Sigma haven't carried into English like the Sigma has, they have provided some insight for the mark. Chi is depicted as an uppercase X. Okay? Chi is depicted as an uppercase X. And it says the shape of the XI is written in Greek, shapes closest to the curling of a snake ready to strike. Sigma represents a serpent of coiling ready to strike. Okay? When you look at these companies, you look at this. I want you to check it out. I want you to research it for yourself. And you look at these products, that what they're doing. They have the symbolic language, visible symbolic language of the Chi Psi Sigma 666. Okay, you have the ViroChip Corporation has. I mean, this is getting real. The corporation have made things like VeroMed, VeroGuard, VeroPay. We talked about VeroPay last week. How, you know, you've seen the IBM commercials, how they wave their hand and they pay. Okay, this is what it says. This is how it really is. Because what you're gonna have here, you're gonna have the mark of the beast. You're gonna have the anti-Messiah being able to control people. And our special guest is gonna talk about that in just a little bit. Being able to control people because radio RFID. Works on a frequency level, so being able to control, you know, and we operate on frequency levels. But you're talking about this chip will be able to control people. Look, and they will be able to track your every movement. What can they do now? You don't believe me? A deal was forced to equip ViroChip with GPS. This is real. Setting the stage for a controversial tracking technology, the satellite communications company Oracom has just signed an agreement with ViroChip Corporation, making it the world's largest first implantable radio frequency identification microchip. ViroChip subsequently says a subsidiary of Applied Digital will work with Oracom to develop market new military security healthcare applications in the U.S. and around the world, the company said. Okay, so we talked about that last week. It says once inserted into a human, it can be tracked by GPS. This is the official article, by GPS technology and information relayed wirelessly to the internet, where a individual's location, movement, vital signs can be stored in a database and future references. And we know that. Come on, you know IBM is the biggest manufacturer, you know, part of this. So a ViroChip owned by the IBM Corporation signs a deal with Oricom, who has satellites all over the world. You know GPS is real. You know, you get in your car, you can say, hey, I'm going here. You know, phones got GPS. GPS can track you within, you know, a couple meters. So Oricom's relationship with Virochip provides another, yet another new and an important industry that Oricom's satellite system and its ground infrastructure networks transmit messages globally. Oricom CEO Jerry Insberg said. So what you have here is they're combining forces. They're getting ready for the mark of the beast to be able to, you know, one person, the anti-messiah, has control over this and is able to track people and able to control these people's minds. Because once you take the mark of the beast, it's over for you. We're going to talk about that later. It's over for you. You know what I'm saying? And it's not going to be instituted until the beast is official. But we're warning you now, man. Hey, do not take the mark of the beast except Yahushua the Messiah. Hey, this is getting real. It says, I found another article. It says, when cash is under the, is only skin deep. Check this. This is going to blow your mind back right here. Check this. It says, a Florida company has announced plans to develop a service that would allow consumers to pay for merchandise using microchips implanted under their skin. Applied Digital Solutions CEO Scott Silverman said he believes that the company's Virochip, it says a microchip that uses radio frequency signals to broadcast an identification number to a scanner, would someday replace credit cards. Under Silverman's plan, rather than swiping a bank card to make purchases, microchip consumers would scan themselves using special readers. Come on, man. It sounds like a lot like Revelation 13:18 and a lot like Revelation 13, where you cannot buy or sell. Think about it. When it says buy or sell, they will make it so businesses will not be able to offer their products and sell except they accept the B system, except they have a system where you the consumers have to have a microchip, or the beast, in which the people that want to consume or buy cannot also buy or purchase anything without the mark of the beast. I mean, this is real. This is getting realer by the moment and by the day. Although, I'm reading some more of this article right here. It says, although the buy chip payment plan may strike some people as a bit X-file-ish, financial transactions using radio frequency identification or RFID are already commonplace in most areas. Exxon Mobil's SpeedPass, for example, is a keychain fob containing RFID linked the holders to the credit card. So they already have this in order. You know what I'm saying? Look, it says, look, check this. Recently, more than 400 McDonald's restaurants in the greater Chicago area started using SpeedPass system, allowing customers more effectively to buy their burgers and fries. Okay? I watched a video on YouTube that they had the microchips now in the credit card, so where you can just you know, swing them by and it just automatically debit your account. It's like it's called the you know, and then they have Scott with the Silverman, Joel Silverman guy announces the VeroPay. You know, he announced that a while back in 2003. So all these things right here are leading up to what the earth will know as the mark of the beast. What the earth will know as the mark of the beast. So right now, you know what I'm saying, I want to show you how real this is. We want to bring a guest on that had a dream just the other day about what Yahuwah has shown him about the mark of the beast, and this is so real. So we want to bring Yajran on the line. Yo, Yajran, you on the air on the way with Yahuwah's side. What's going on with you?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, well, the dream was very troubling. I'll go ahead and get into it. Well, the dream was about how there were it was like in a wilderness somewhere. This place, it was like a building somewhere, and they were taking people there, and they were acting like they were going to take people home, right? And so there were like people that were gathered over there, and they had no idea what was going on, but people were being like chipped, and I didn't know. You know, in my dream, I'm wondering, this is the mark of the beast or not? So I'm praying to Yahuwah to show me, you know, is this the mark of the beast? And I asked the lady behind the counters, lady behind the desk, and I'm asking her, I'm saying, you know, how does this shit work? Did you get implanted in your top of your head or in your hand, you know, your head, you know? And she really didn't give me a straightforward answer. So I saw another guy. He was standing in the corner, and he had his head wrapped. And I thought he was like another civilian, but come to find out, he was a soldier. And so I go walk up to him, and I ask him, you know, does this go, you know, into our, you know, our foreheads, what have you? And he goes, basically says yes, and he says, too, that it's a way they can track us wherever we are, you know, and he said, he told me that if I refuse to get it, that he would have to kill me. And so I told him, I said, well, do what you got to do, you know? And so what happened was he took me behind a building, and they had two other soldiers that came met with him, and they were going to execution style kill me, you know, in the dream. And so before they let off, you know, lead into my body, I basically, you know, asked, I said goodbye to, you know, the people that were there. You know, so I said goodbye to them. I told them Yahuwah blessed them. So then I said, okay, I'm ready now, you know. And so they just unloaded on me, and I woke up, you know. So well, it was something that really put something in my mind, you know. Actually happened this morning. This dream happened this morning, so. And wow. To hear the subject now is being brought forth now is like more confirmation for me. And I had also did some study on it earlier about how where the mark originates from, the chips, where they originate from. And basically they go back to satanic worship called pushpins. It's in witchcraft. So we all know that whoever's behind these chips, they're basically, you know, pushing something that has something to do with satanic worship, which is these pushpins. They're going to insert something to your body. The origin of these things go back, you know, to like covens and witchcraft. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some scripture, a few scriptures, you know, on the subject of this chip situation. And then I'm going to go into a quote couple from this book by Dr. Brown. It's called Vessel Honor. And she's a lady that was basically, she came, Yahuwah had chose her basically to kind of pull people out of witchcraft and, you know, into witnessing them and, you know, bringing them to salvation through the Messiah. And she's basically telling, like, what these people had told her and what she had experienced from her own experience of being attacked, demonically attacked by these, you know, by these covens. I mean, it's a very interesting book. If anybody wants to pick it up, it's called Becoming a Vessel of Honor in the Master Service by Dr. Brown. But anyway, I'm going to these two scriptures here. It says in Revelation chapter 13, okay, and it says verse 16, right? And 17, it says, and he causes all, both small and great, and rich and poor, and free and slave, to be given a mark. Okay, some translations say upon, but in all actuality, it's supposed to say in, you know, in your right hand and upon their and in their forehead. So it's saying that basically it's prophesied it's going to be in, something's going to be inside their hand and inside their forehead. So don't let these new translations fool you. Now they're saying on or upon. You know, no, you research it, you'll find out that it's supposed to be in the body. And he says, and that no one should buy or sell except he that has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. He said, here's wisdom. He who has the understanding, let him calculate the number of the beast, for the number of man, his number is 666. That's verse 18. Okay. And now I'm going to go ahead and go to in Revelation. Excuse me. Chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 9. I'm going to read to 13. He says, and a third messenger followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark upon his forehead, or in his forehead, as we all know. See, my translation here is the scripture translation. They translate it as upon, but so the in the forehead, or in his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out undiluted into the cup of his wrath. And he shall be tortured with fire and sulfur before the set apart messengers before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torture goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, those worshiping the beast in his image. Also, if anyone receives the mark of his name, right? He said, here's the endurance of the set apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yahushua. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Master from now on. Yea, says the Spirit, in order that they rest from their labors and their works follow with them. So basically, don't worry about if you got to die for the cause. I mean, if you got to die for the sake of righteousness, then so be it. You know, I see in the resurrection, you know. I'd rather go ahead and die for the sake of, you know, of Yahushua, because to me that's the greatest honor, versus me, you know, bowing down to them, to their system, and receiving this mark, and I'll lose my salvation. So we're supposed to be stay rooted in Yahushua, you know, walk in his name, refuse the mark, because once you get the mark, it's all over. There's no turning back after that. So you need to just stay rooted in Yahushua, follow his commandments, and keep the testimony. But now I'm going to quote from this book, okay? It says, inserts are just about anything that gets inserted under the skin or into the body that has a demon and sometimes physical poisons. The most common is cyanide or mercury attached to it. Okay, so it's letting you know right there that with these push pins, there's demons attached to it. And I won't be surprised if these chips have demons attached to them as well. And it says, they are tiny metal pins which are inserted under the skin in a special ritual. Demons are attached to the pins for various functions. They enter the person when the pin is inserted. They function as a sort of radar homing device. Isn't that what you just got through saying a couple minutes ago?
Yep.
About the chip being a homing device, to be able to trace them and everything?
Yep. ORCOM is having satellites to be able to trace everybody to every moment, every movement.
There you go. He says, and also for purposes of destruction. The demons associated with the pins are supposed to destroy the person if he or she ever leaves the craft. Then goes on to say, Dr. Brown continues to describe these push pins. The purpose is the same, though it is for control. Once a person has a push pin, the people in the craft always know where they are. And when they leave, the demons attached to the pin rise up to try to kill the person physically.
Mm.
They're going to say, in other countries, they use different things instead of metal. Sometimes small pieces of rock, a small piece of wood, a tooth, or a piece of human bone. If you look at other cultures around the world, you will find the use of inserts everywhere. For example, Hindu women in India frequently wear a particular gem or stone embedded in the skin in the center of their forehead. This is the position of the third eye. This links them with their mighty one and supposedly gives them special vision into the spirit world. Various African tribes are well known for pieces of bone inserted into their noses, ears, or lips. And it says, I think it is no accident. Oh, hold on. It says, there are at least 7 different categories of inserts. Okay, now I'm going to this certain type of push type of inserts that they have. There's 7 different kinds. One's called the push pins. You know, we all know about that one. It says the curse pins. Okay, what they do is they're similar push pins, but they have a different type of purpose. They're always designed to hurt, you know, or kill somebody. Okay, you know, they may be designed to influence, to deliver less than, you know, than kill and destruction. However, curse pins are designed to kill. So they're designed to, you know, kill. He said, nail pins are basically the same as push pins. They are inserted into the bed of the fingernails or the toenails, most commonly the fingernails. They have the same functions as the push pins. And another one called Satan's web is a piece of silky material about 2 by 3 inches in size. It is swallowed in the ritual. The web placed as sort of a time bomb which goes off if the person ever turns against Shaitan. It produces an intense acid in the stomach and will eventually destroy the stomach completely. It produces all sorts of severe stomach pain and even bleeding. But little is found on physical examination because the process is purely demonic.
Wow, they're going to
say crystals. Now, I know a lot of people talk about crystals, but if you have any crystals in your house, get them out your house. And they said, crystals are extremely small and are actually demonic parasites. Although they are crystalline in nature, they are a living parasite. I have seen these under a microscope. They are usually inserted behind the eardrum into the bloodstream, or simply under the skin. They are about the size of 1 to 3 grams of salt. Some are red and some are white. In the craft, the red crystals are frequently called the red devil's crystals. If a woman has a baby that is delivered on a satanic altar or in the presence of other Satanists, these crystals are often inserted into the artery and veins of the umbilical cord of the baby as the cord is cut. Both the baby and the mother are affected demonically by the crystals. They are capable of creating devastating illness, even death within 4 to 6 months of placement. And he says another one called demonic IUDs. They are often placed through various procedures. They may be made of metal, but they always have a demonic component. I've been told by more than one high-ranking Satanist who has turned, well, she's using JC, you know, we all know it's Yahushua, that the whole concept of the intratine devices were devised by craft doctors in the first place. An IUD does not prevent conception. It prevents inflammation of the early fetus in the uterus. In essence, it causes an abortion. The craft doctors considered these IUD caused abortion to be sacrifices to Shaitan. He says, any believer, woman that's a believer, basically, she's saying, who has an IUD should have it physically removed and then close the doorway. Remember, all abortions are human sacrifices to Shaitan. If you have had an IUD, you should ask the Master for forgiveness and cleansing and then command all demons that came into you through the IUD and IUD caused abortion to leave you once in the name, you know, the Messiah, Yahushua, of course. But she said JC, but we all know the truth. Okay, it said, dental inserts are common amongst the higher Satanists. These are usually computer chips that can literally be traced by satellite. I mean, you got to talk about that.
Yep.
And he said, thus, until these are removed, the person can be traced anywhere in the world. Their location is known at all times. A variation of these computer chips are currently being introduced to the general population of the U.S. and other countries. They've been used in animals for several years. In the winter of 1989 and 1990, the craft began pushing the implementation of computer microchips into children, either on the skin of their right hand or in their forehead. The stated purpose is to prevent the many kidnappings here in the U.S. The various child finding organizations are beginning to push this in some states already. It says, also, I heard from some higher craft members who have just recently come to, well, she said, you know, come to Yahushua, that these computer chips will be placed in driver license and credit cards in the near future. This is written years before they even started doing this. Are these microchips the mark of the beast? I think they very well could be. Please note, Scripture says the mark shall be received in the hand or forehead, not on. I just got through saying that. Could this be because the Master himself, because the Master knew an insert would be used rather than a simple surface mark? I suppose you could say the mark of the beast is the ultimate insert.
Man. Well, and I was thinking about something when you said something. You said once they accept it, it would, every time they try to move it, it would rise up and kill them. So, you know, or it would prevent them from leaving Hashatan. So basically, once you accept the mark of the beast, there's no turning back. You can never, there's no turning back from that. Because you basically say Hashatan is your master.
Yeah, it's giving me confirmation. As I was reading, it was giving me confirmation in my dream, too, that they can track you wherever you are, you know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if you didn't get it, basically, you know, you would die. So, you know, what they do is they attach a demon to each of these things. I believe they're really going to, because, you know, the Illuminati is pushing these chips. So I'm pretty sure they're going to have demons attached to each chip, man. You know, and send them out. So whoever's going to get them has a demonic beacon on their bodies.
To be able to.
In their bodies. That man.
To be able to stop them to, basically, there's no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that. I mean, that's how serious it is, taking the mark of the beast. And the way they're going to set it up is, they're going to set it up. When people, you know, we talked about how, you know, he said, Yahushua said, pray that you are worthy to escape those things that are going to come up on the earth. So it's going to be, you know, some people are going to be able to escape those things, but if you're not, and you're still here, they're going to set it up where you either have to die or take the mark of the beast. You know what? There's only two choices. You know what I'm saying? And they'll offer it like taking the mark of the beast is a benefit. Yeah, you might be able to eat. You might be able to buy stuff. You might be able to live. But in the end, why would you risk your soul for that? You know what I'm saying? Why would you risk your soul to be able to go buy something? You know? It ain't worth it. Man. You still there, Yagran?
Yeah, I'm still.
I appreciate it, man, coming on. We actually have another caller right here on the line. Right here, I think this is a caller right here from, I believe this is 616. I believe this might be Shamar. What's going on, man? You on the way.
Shabbat Shalom, Mike. This is Shamar.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right, bro. Man, first of all, I wanted to ask Yashiron, what, you know, about the information that he was just presenting on these pins. You know, where can we find that literature?
Okay, there's a book called Vessel of Honor. It's called Becoming a Vessel of Honor in the Master's Service.
Okay.
And it's by Dr. Brown. Excuse me.
Dr. Brown.
But okay. There's websites, you know, if you, like, push in push pins and, you know, if you look on a website, I'm pretty sure they'll bring you to certain websites. Like, one, there's one website called cuttingedge.org. They had information on it. And there's another one called a guy called Yaz Watchman. He has information on it too. But me personally, I refer people to read the whole book. You know, I've read the book. It's a very good book. I mean, what she does, she exposes everything that they're doing and how basically everything that's about to happen now is basically originating into the covens. You know what I'm saying? They're bringing everything to the forefront and infiltrating everything.
Okay.
So, you know.
So that's just further confirmation that this is the actual mark of the beast. So, hallelujah. I wanted to, Yajiran was giving his testimony of the testament of the vision that he had, and I wanted to come on and share a vision that it's been a reoccurring vision that I've been having for the past couple years. It's very similar to that, though. What happens is usually there will be like a war of some sort in an undisclosed location. It'd just be like a war, and I would be submerged into it just watching the two sides battle. And then usually, you know, toward the end of the dream, the end of the battle, I would always be confronted with, you know, who is the truth or what is the truth? This is the question that I would be asked. And the Ruach would fall upon me, and I would proclaim the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, and I would be shot. And I've had that dream multiple times over the past couple of years, and really being shot, like really feeling the ammunition penetrating my flesh, even in this natural realm, and it's really been opening my eyes to the coming tribulation. So I just wanted to share that.
Praise Jehovah, man. Praise Jehovah. It's truly going down, man. Ever since Teruah. It's truly going down. Things are sped up to where that thing is, and I guess what can happen is the spirit of discouragement or or worry or fear can come upon you. But guess what?
Right.
Hey, you're supposed to get excited because hey,
hallelujah,
Yahushua is at the door. He coming. So he said, you see all these things coming, lift your head, for your redemption draws near, and that's what we getting ready for. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we read about.
Yeah, who is not getting the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Exactly.
He said, fear not, he can destroy your body, but he can destroy your body and being in Gehenna.
Yes, sir.
So,
right.
That's who
right.
I feel. I feel Yahuwah of hosts.
Yes, sir. Fear Yahuwah. So I thank you, Yajiran and Shamar, for sharing y'all great testimonies. Man, it was awesome because that is what is going on, man, and it's official. I say today it's official what the mark of the beast is. Yahuwah showed us. He showed us what the spiritual atmosphere is and what's going on. We just gonna keep it moving.
All right, well, hallelujah, and thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Catch you. Hey, you still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. This is Yahuwah Side, and we still on the way. Hey, we're going to still crunch it in. Man, that was awesome, man. That was. I mean, I know you felt Yahuwah, man, just now, man, because that is, he's showing us what's going on. So we thank Yashwan and we thank Shamar again for coming online. I mean, that is what's going on. So we want to just move on and get squeeze this other news in real quick. Man, we got an article right here talking about the Vatican wants to lay its hands on Jerusalem. So this article is kind of deceptive because I'm not even going to read it too much, but it talks about how they want to lay their hands on the old sites of Jerusalem and all this. But we remember back in the day, the Vatican already signed a deal to have the old city of Jerusalem and have all its sites. So this is basically propaganda, what's going on. They're talking about they want to control, you know, the site of King David's tomb and the Garden of Gethsemane, the foot of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And so this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to propagate this agenda, saying that they want this old city. But when reality is they signed paperwork back in the 90s saying that they already had control of it. So this is just propaganda, but it's something I ran across But we want to talk about the big story, what's going on right now. We got war about to break out. I don't know if you know this. I found this article right here. It says, on the first hand, the U.S. Navy fleet by flagship aircraft carrier George W. Bush is carrying, it says, is approaching the Mediterranean Sea. Some are saying it's heading towards Syrian offshore. Meanwhile, in a related development, three more U.S. warships have been dispatched to join the U.S. John C. Stinson in the Fifth Fleet region. The Stinson is a Nimitz-class nuclear power supply carrier, already stationed just outside of Iranian territory waters. Come on now. You have a U.S. ship. They just dispatched a U.S. ship that's outside Iranian territory waters. The USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier has just been deployed. It says in its home port to join the U.S. Fifth Fleet by the Middle East. Come on, man. They dispatching troops. I'm gonna read another story in a little bit. The Chinese president has just announced that, hey, he said, I'm gonna pause right there. So you can just anticipate that. But it says, on the other hand, the Russia has supplied two Basin coastal missile systems to Syria. Russia's sources claim that new missile system will enable Syria to protect its entire coast from possible seaborne attack. So Russia's getting ready. The Iranians getting ready. And we're going to read later, China is getting ready. So we already dispatching ships. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So you have right here. The confirmation of the deal comes at the time of increasing uncertainty for a Syria president who is struggling to maintain the power, it says, a grip on power in the face of 9-month conflict of anti-government protesters. Okay, so Russia roundly criticized NATO handling Libya crisis, saying that military alliances overstepped their UN mandate or obligations. So basically, you know, you have, I'm not going to read too much, get in too much of the story, but I want to just skim over some quick things. It says the United States has deployment yet another warship to the Middle East. They're deploying ships to the Middle East. Right now, they have them right outside of Iranian waters. And so even when you get down even further, I have a official article that shows the ships and everything that has been deployed. You have last week, you had the Chinese president announced on Tuesday, he urged his Navy to prepare for military combat amid the growing regional tension over the Martin dispute and the U.S. campaign to assert itself in the U.S. as a Pacific power. The Navy should accelerate its transformation and modernization in a sturdy way and make extensive preparations for military combat in order to make greater contribution. So basically, he told his troops, he told the Navy to get ready for war. The Chinese president told the Navy, because, you know, I don't know if you know, the Navy, of course, is, you know, deals with the water, you know, the ships on the water. So he released this on Tuesday, and you already know that U.S., has ships already deployed, so it makes sense. Now his intelligence found out that the U.S. is deploying ships, so they are telling his military to get ready to deploy ships. The Navy, okay. Then you have Russia's Navy getting ready, you know. So it seems like it's starting maybe on the water some way. And there's a rumor, you know, we're living in an age where Yahushua said, Matthew 24, he said that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Now, this is the rumor of war that's been talking about is that, you know, next week we're talking about is the Yahudim set apart day, not the covenant day, not in the scriptures, but it's one that was back there in the time of Yahushua. Talking about the, and it's called Hanukkah. So we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But we're talking about right now, that there is a possibility in the coming week and weeks of a military strike and a military war. We're talking about World War III coming up soon. So I ain't publicizing it. I ain't prophesizing it. I'm just saying that there is a rumor of war going on. It's a threat of Syrian attack on Israel. It says even as I'm reading the article right here. It says even as a Arab League pressured Assad, the Syrian leader renewed his threats to engulf the region in war. So you have the Syrian Assad, one of the persons from the Syrian, saying that they are that they're ready to go to war, nothing that Israel would be a key target for the Syrian military activities. So they're saying that the Assyrians could attack, because one of these things, one of these triggers will trigger a war. It's like everybody's getting ready, you know, and one of the things we talked about last week is it's about oil. It's about all these other things that are going on, and you have, we don't want to get too much into it because we're running out of time, but we don't want to get too much into it. But you're actually talking about, I'm going to read some triggers that could trigger a Middle East war. You're talking about if Assyria attacks Israel, you know, you have if Iran triggers with the Arab neighbors during the attempt in some of the revolutions. And then you have the collapse of the EU and the current financial situation. If Israel launches its first strike on Iran, you know what I'm saying? And they've released statements, and a lot of people have been saying that there's rumors are swirling throughout Israel, speculation that when the IDF may launch military operations against whom first? They're saying, okay, look, this is there is one rabbinical, you know, so that's up debate, view that suggests that Magog will collide with Hanukkah in December, you know, and that's next week. So they're saying that, you know, possibly there could be a strike which causes a war next week. We'll just have to see about that, because it says and I have another point right here. It says there's speculation that the Israeli government has been preparing for attack around the time of Hanukkah. This Hanukkah celebration is the 20th through the 28th of December. So we want to talk about Hanukkah. Man, you still listen to Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and this is still on the way. Hey, this is what we're talking about, Hanukkah, because they have made Hanukkah just like almost like Christmas, and we want to talk about this. I just came across this information last night. So it was an article by Alan Gesdorf, I believe it is called. It's called this is about the history of Hanukkah, so we can understand what's going on. It says the menorah was used during the Yahudim or Jewish holiday Hanukkah. 8 days Hanukkah was celebrated in the year on the 25th of the Hebrew month of Kislev. It said the holiday commemorates the military victory over the Yahudim of Palestine over the Syrian Greeks in the 2nd century B.C. The Maccabees, the Jewish revolutionaries, restored order to Jerusalem and found the temple contaminated. To restore the temple, ritual oil was needed, but only enough pure oil to last one day was found. The miracle of Hanukkah occurred when the modest amount of oil in the temple lamps burned for 8 days, allowing it to be rededicated. Following the destruction of the temple, the menorah became a very important symbol in the Yahudim history. It says it became a reminder of the sovereignty of the temple. It says, and the rabbis began to forbid the use of an exact replica of 7 branches of the menorah. So we know back in, if you look in the scriptures, it talk about It talks about the lampstand. In Zechariah, it talks about the lampstand. And it talks about the menorah. It said, moving on with the article, it says, today, candles are lit on 8-branch menorah called the Hanukkah Yah. It says, in Israel, to differentiate from the 7-branch menorah in the temple. So basically, the rabbis added some stuff, you know, saying 8 days, you got to light a candle, you know what I'm saying? And the rabbis taught that the menorah should be placed in the window in order to publicize the miracle. So all these traditions, you know, the rabbis always added traditions of man. You're supposed to say these prayers, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to put it in your window. You're supposed to have a menorah. But when we really get down to it, I mean, this article has a view, and it's very interesting, something to be able to really think about, because it talks about we got to be careful not to take the same road as the nations do. Like the nations say, you know, Yahuwah said, be careful that we don't, you know, look or observe the nations and say, you know, as they serve their mighty one, you know, so we will serve, you know, Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? So we don't want to do that. And so when it comes down to it, the rabbis, you know, the whole thing was about the menorah, about the miracle of how the oil burned. And what we got to remember is that the menorah was just for use in the temple for the Levites, you know, to use. So there's no instruction saying that we could make a replica or stick it in a home or, you know, or anything like that. So it's just thoughts to think about, and, you know, that we may not, you know, pervert or be in violation of Yahuwah's commandments. Because it was only for the authorized use of even the lighting of the menorah for the Levites, you know. But Hanukkah is a day we should observe and should, you know, have a feast. And what I talked about with one of the brothers is it was a day that they rededicated after the temple had been defiled, is rededicating it back to Yahuwah. So now we are the temple. We are the temple of Yahuwah. So now we need to, I believe on this day, that we need to examine ourselves after we have been contaminated and dedicate our bodies. You know, it says, we need to, these bodies are living sacrifice, so we need to dedicate our bodies, if it has been defiled, back to Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? Back to Yahuwah. And that's the real meaning of, you know, of the holiday, or, you know, some people say holiday, set apart day in which we should do. And we're going to actually read a couple scriptures. If you have the scriptures, we want to go to Yohanan or John 10. Because this gets big, because we don't want to get back into paganism. You know, we came out of paganism, we don't want to get back to paganism. But it talks about, the rest of the article talks about how, you know, paganism and Nimrod worship. We know Nimrod is Christmas, is circled around Nimrod. You know, Queen Samaritans also proclaimed that Baal would be present on the earth in the form of a flame, whether candle or lamp, used in worship. So whenever you have, so people mix the Hanukkah with almost Nimrod worship, with the things that are not in Scripture. That's what we're trying to get to, the things that are not in Scripture. So let's read this, because it's big. Because we want to talk about the Haggai prophecy, that Haggai prophecy 2. If you get a chance to read that, Haggai 2, but it talks about a lot of things that are coming in the near future, and about Yahuwah shaking the heavens and the earth. But we want to read, that's a possibility that the Son of Perdition may be revealed when they dedicate the temple. Because we know Thessalonians 2 says that he will proclaim himself to be El. Man, last night we were talking about, me and the wife were talking about this. This is so wild. This is so wild. Before we go to Yohanan, let's go to Thessalonians. I hope you get your scriptures. I ain't even going to read no more notes. We're gonna dive into the scriptures, man. This is interesting right here. This is interesting right here. I'm gonna go to Thessalonians real quick, please. Go to Thessalonians. Go to Thessalonians 2, and we're going to start at verse 3. It says, "Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away comes first, and the son of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim." Okay, remember that thing. Remember this right here. This is why I know the scriptures are real. He said that he will sit in the dwelling place or the temple of Elohim. We know that the Jews right now, over in Jerusalem, they have built a replica third temple in which they're training the Ashkenaz synagogue of Satan Jews to do service worship. And so what they're going to have, they're going to end up building the third temple, and they're going to dedicate it. So, but what you have here is the whole debate around the son of perdition is he proclaims himself to be Elohim. He proclaims himself to be Yahuwah, right? The maker of heaven and earth, Elohim, right? Now, I want to go back. Let's go back to Yehuchanan. Let's go back to the Yehuchanan, the Besorah, chapter 10. Now, I want to show you the whole debate about this whole chapter is Yahusha Elohim? So what's going to happen is the same thing is actually going to happen, but it's going to be reversed. Now, watch how they treat Yahusha when he says he's Elohim. But in the future, when the son of perdition does the same thing, now check this. Let's start at verse 22. We're at John 10:22. At that time, the Hanukkah, we're just talking about Hanukkah. Hanukkah is where they dedicate with the dedication of the temple. You know, so if you think about it, it could happen the same way, except it'd be the son of perdition. Because if you read works like Apocalypse of Eliyahu and different works in the scriptures, you will see that it says that the anti-Messiah, the son of perdition, will do everything that the Messiah did except raise the dead. So he will be able to walk on water, and his ministry is actually 3.5 years. Same time as Yahusha. And we know that the adversary is a copycat. So he's going to do everything like the Messiah did. So wouldn't it make sense to try to act like him and try to do things like him? So let's read this scripture right here that happened in Hanukkah that may happen again in Hanukkah, but this the son of perdition happened. Look at the whole debate was about Yahusha being Elohim. It says, at that time, Hanukkah came to be in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Yahusha was walking on a set-apart place in the ports of Shalimar. So the Yahudim surrounded him and said, "How long do you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, say to us plainly." Yahusha answered them and told them, he said, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I have said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them everlasting life, and they by no means shall ever perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So that's what got him right there. "I and my Father are one." And it says, "In a again, the Yahudim picked up stones to stone him. Yahusha answered them, Many works I have shown you from my Father. Because of these, which of these works do you stone me?" And the Yahudim answered him, saying, "We do not stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself Elohim." Oh, we're going to pause right there. Pause right there. We got to get up a wine in. I gotta give rewind. He said, well, they said, and the Yahudim answered him saying, we do not stone you for a good work, but for blaspheming, because you, being a man, make yourself Elohim. And Yahushua answered them, saying, it is written in your Torah, I said you are Elohim. And if he called Elohim to the word of Elohim came, it is impossible for the scripture to be broken. Do you say to him whom the Father set apart and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the son of Elohim? See, the whole debate was, in which they tried to stone him, in which they tried to stone him, is because he said he's Elohim. He said he's the son of Elohim. And that's what they're trying to stone him for. So what's going to happen is you're going to have the same events. Think about it. The Great Tribulation lasts 3.5 years. The series of events, Michael and his messengers fight the dragon, his messengers. The dragon is kicked out of Shemaim. That's why Yahuwah said, I'm going to shake the heavens. So when he shakes the heavens, Hashatan is kicked out. He comes to earth. He dwells within the side of in Son of Perdition. The Son of Perdition starts off his so-called ministry proclaiming himself that he is the Messiah, he is Elohim, sitting in the temple, just like we read in Thessalonians 2. So it could be the series of events. It could be the same time of year of Hanukkah that this same event happens. It just happens in reverse, you know, because Yahushua prophesied a lot of times about the Son of Perdition and about the age we're coming upon, you know, the imposter of him. Because, I mean, this deception is going to be so strong, and you say, why do we keep talking about it? Why do you keep talking about it? Because you need to know. You need to tell other people, because it's going to be that confusing. It's going to be that confusing where people are going to be massively deceived. They will see signs and wonders by these false prophets, and will be deceived. Because Yahushua said if it was possible that he would deceive the very elect, if it was possible. That's how much this deception is going to be. So yeah, we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it till you're able to go tell somebody else that, hey, an imposter is coming who is going to say he's the Messiah, but he's not. You know, that's why Yahuwah is sending Enoch and Eliyahu to tell the world that, hey, this is not the imposter. This is the one prophesied to come into the world to say he is the Messiah, but is not. That's what Yahushua said when he was walking with the tree going to Golgotha. They started weeping for him. He said, do not weep for me. He said, weep for your children. For if they do this to the green tree, what should they do to the dry? And you see right here what they did to the green tree. The green tree is life. You see what they did to him? They rejected him. They said, how do you say you Elohim? They picked up stones. They were ready to stone them. So what are they going to do to the dry tree, the dead tree, the Son of Perdition? They are going to, what's the opposite of rejection? Accept. So they're going to accept him. They're going to say, hey, he is Elohim. You know what I'm saying? They're going to say it. And so that's what we're talking about right now, man. And that is what is going down. And it is coming upon us. It is coming upon us, and it's coming quick. So I really enjoyed kicking it with you on the way. Hey, we got a special coming up. If Yahuwah wills us to see next week, man, we're going to break down the false day Christmas. Man, we're going to tear the shreds. We're going to tear the shreds on that day, because we need to get ready to go to war with these spirits and just smash this falsehood coming out. So we thank you. We thank Yashram. We thank Shamar for coming online. It was great. Hey, keep your head up. Dedicate yourself back to Yahuwah, man. Examine your temples. Dedicate yourself back to Yahuwah. Hey, we'll check you on the flip side. Man, it's been awesome. Man, may Yahuwah bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. May you be blessed in and out of the city, and may he watch over you and protect you. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name, we out of here, man.
not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way, on Poetic Energy Network. Station.